Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Okay. I forget the young lady who called in and wanted to know where this like sample came from. Obviously, Ice Cube, Today Was a Good Day. And I don't remember this band now that...
I think it's pronounced the Isley Brothers?
The Isley Brothers. Yeah.
But I remember we talked about that time with that lady.
Yeah, there it is. All right, we're back at it inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. Obviously, Carlos Rodon didn't have it tonight. And, you know, we talked about the Yankees getting into Toronto in, you know, the early morning hours. It is what it is. I was just talking to Marco about Rodon, and I said the guy's mentally weak and he can't be a stopper. Like, when things are going bad and he takes the ball and takes the mound, you cannot count on him to go out there and give you a solid first inning, second inning. Like, he hasn't had a solid outing since he circled the calendar, similar to Verdugo circling the date on the calendar returning back to Boston. He circled the date that he would return back to Kauffman Stadium and face the Royals, and we haven't seen a good start out of him since. All we've seen out of him is emotion, too much emotion to the point of tears, and then like being upset where, like, you just saw the clip on the TV with Luis Rojas, the hands in the air. Like, What goes on with this dude?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. And this is kind of like fears of maybe the Yankee fan in me, but when you watch it, it almost feels like the fake tough guy thing. And that's it's not a good label. I'm not talking about his personality. It worries me that the moment almost encapsulates him, envelops him. It's the entire thing. And he likes to play with emotion. He likes to show his emotion. He likes to wear it on his sleeve. And that can be good, but it can consume you. And it seems like every time Rodon gets a little bit of adversity, the moment consumes him. It's almost like his emotions betray him. You know he wants the big moment.
We've seen the Boomer Wells. We've seen the CeCe Sabathia. We've seen these like hefty lefties that got the dog in them. If you have a fake guy, a fake tough guy, it doesn't work here in New York.
No.
If the pressure is going to hit you and it's going to be too big for you.
It's being able to understand it. Like I said, I think he, and there's some people that don't want the moment and they shy away from it. It's like, whoa, that's, and they know it. And they get, he wants the moment and he wants to show you how big he is and how good of a starter he is. And he's the guy, he wants all of that. That's good.
Yeah.
The problem is his emotions betray him the second anything goes bad. And the second anything goes south on him, it seems like it takes him 3 innings to be able to figure it out. Well, now you're down 8-0. This game is over. Thank you for figuring it out and pushing through five to help the bullpen.
You can see it right away.
But that's not good. You can't take 3 innings to figure this out. You're not a first or second year player. You're a veteran who was given $162 million. You need to be a guy that if it doesn't work, you got to figure out what is working and get yourself through. You're not going to have your stuff every time out there. The good pitchers figure out how to get through five with nothing and give your team a chance. It seems like if he doesn't have his stuff, that game is over in the first 2 innings. That can't be the way. That's where you're inconsistent. That's why you have an ERA pushing five. That's why you're having the issues that you're having. Not everything's going to go your way. You're not always going to have your stuff. Can you figure out a way to get through and give your team a chance? And it seems like in these situations, Rodon implodes.
He's a veteran, though. He's been around for long enough where you would think he's been through enough struggle, adversity. I know this Yankees stuff is a little different, but, man, I was at the game where he got choked up because Gleyber Torres tried to console him. It was a knock and then a homer, and I'm like, oh, this guy is folding in the moment.
It can't be like that. That's what I'm saying.
And then tonight, as soon as he looked at Ben Rice like you got to pick up the ball. He said something to Ben Rice like you got to get the ball. And sure, Ben Rice, as a rookie, you got to attack that ball. But I'm like, you could see him unraveling. He didn't have his command. He hit IKF with a pitch.
Right, but see, that's perfect, though. Him yelling at Ben Rice. Now, that play needs to be made, 100%. But instead of worrying about Ben Rice, can you pick up your teammate? Can you look at it and go, kid, I got you. I'm going to get the next guy. Instead of giving up the three-run homer and then have the entire inning explode. That's what a veteran, that's what a good player, that's what a leader does.
Instead of worrying about your
rookie first baseman who's been here for 10 seconds and figuring out that he messed up a play, that's where you look at a kid and you go, I got you. And that's not the reaction that you get from Rodon.
I knew he was in a bad one. I think Wells tried to, like, stop him and call timeout. and he didn't see it. I'm like, this guy is not locked in right now. He's in the twilight zone right now. And next thing you know, it's a Vladdy double, 1-0. Then the ball hit the first base, and then
Springer right after it.
Springer has been in a bad one himself right now. He's been struggling right now. Tonight, yeah, he got his numbers back up.
Look, and again, this is the last three starts, and they talked about it after the game, and I'm not going to sit here as a pitching coach or whatever, but they know it, and everyone's all over it. Everything is happening off the fastball. So they're ambushing his fastball, they're jumping on his fastball, and it's obviously not, whether it's not moving, whether it's he's not throwing in the right location, whether it's because he's tipping it, I don't know the answer. But obviously, that's something that you've been looking at and you've been working on for the last three or four starts, and you go, well, it's not necessarily bad stuff, it's we got to figure out what's going on with the fastball. Yeah, when guys are 10 or 15 off your fastball in the last couple of games, that's an issue to me. That's a problem, especially a guy when you're supposed to be a power pitcher. But if you know that going in, then maybe you don't use that to challenge Springer three times with a fastball in that first at-bat.
Yeah, nah, dude. It just was like...
Is that stubbornness? Is that, well, yeah, but not today? Not this fastball today?
The location, and like I said, I don't know.
That's not just all location to me. I'm sorry. They're getting hits off the same pitches.
He didn't have his command. He was missing his spots. And then when he was trying to throw that fastball in the zone, it's getting rocked.
For a while now. So again, you know it, and you're on top of it. Your emotions are no good. Your pitch selection, you're stubborn with. It just adds up to a recipe of disaster. And more important, right from the start, you're going to go into bad ways. The Yankees were flying high, 10 of 14 losses now. Everything's not working. Nobody's pitching well. Nobody's hitting. These things happen during a season. They also shine a light on some of your deficiencies and your weaknesses. But these are the situations, after you get embarrassed by the Mets, where you have a spot where you go, you know what? You're supposed to be my guy. You fix it tonight. Because you don't play every day. Starting pitchers, the one thing that they get the benefit of, and when everything's starting to go south, it's not you every day. Now, Luis Gil's had an awful couple weeks. It's two starts. It's not every day. So you can figure it out. It's not like a hitter where you start wind up in your own head and it's constant. Mm-hmm. You can be the guy, you know what, I'm going to set the tone today. And Rodon could have did that, and he didn't. Well, he didn't. And he set the tone for, we're going to go home early tonight. You know what? Pack your bags, guys. Don't worry about it.
Once the pressure was off, he locked in. He went a few more innings scoreless once the pressure was off.
And I would love to be the guy that, like, to praise you for the fifth inning. No. I want to get through this inning. I want to save our bullpen two outs. Thank you. Appreciate your bulldog mentality when the game's 8-0. I don't care now. That's not going to save me.
It didn't matter. That's what I said about
Boone.
That's not
saving the bullpen either.
Yeah,
I need your bulldog mentality.
Boone's like, I'm not going to make a scene with you. We're down 8
And again, I appreciate it. I like the fact that you want the moment. Great. It's not enough to want it from me. You got to actually be able to perform.
Yeah.
Not every single time. I get it. You're a human being. But it feels like every time Rodon is handed the ball in a big moment when things are going poorly, not when things are rolling, when things are going poorly, and you've got to set the tone to be able to get the Yankees out from under an issue, he implodes.
Yeah, like the Baltimore start too in Camden Yards.
Can't be. It can't be. That's not what you pay $160 million for. It can't be a guy that when everything is flying high and you've won 8 out of 10, he can continue the train. I need you to be the guy that when we've lost 4 in a row, you step in and say, not tonight. That's
stopper.
What the Yankees need. And they don't have it.
I gave the Yankees the excuse about sleeping, getting to Toronto at 4 a.m., probably not really sleeping in the hotel till 5, whatever. I know it's an excuse, but I talked about my own experience. I'm like, I know what it's like to go to sleep at 4 a.m. and figure out the next day. Share with us your sleep schedule.
Oh, you don't want that, man. That's depressing. By the time I get home and I'm actually like in my house, it's about 5:30, quarter to 6. I sit on the couch and close my eyes, put my feet up for about 25, 30 minutes. And then the train starts of the three kids at about 6:10.
Your son, my son was born in April of 2023. Your son was born right after.
Right, in May. So that's the youngest for me. That's my one-year-old. I have a 10-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. So I'm all over the map with whoever does what. Like the 10-year-old can obviously take care of himself. I'm not expecting him to go get a job, although that's coming soon. But they're all over. So you got the 10-year-old's kind of like, I'm not worried about you. The 4-year-old's kind of in between. Like, she could do a lot, but she also needs some. And the 1-year-old can't do nothing. You know that. I mean, they could do stuff, but they can't do anything in reality. So,
but once the sun comes up.
Oh, yeah. They're
all up and awake and moving parts and need dad and mom that, and need food and
yeah. And
clothes
that 20, 30 minutes
bathroom.
Is barring the 1-year-old not being awake when I walk in the door. Because sometimes I'm barely in. I don't even have my shoes off. My wife's handing him here. He's been up all night. So there are that. No, I get that. And I understand. They're human, and I know you're talking about, you know, the idea of trying to get them off, you know, basically no sleep. And you do get embarrassed, and you go north of the border, and you're 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I understand that. I'm empathetic. I am. I am also a big believer of you don't have to be at ballpark until 3 o'clock. Figure it out. I don't have a lot of sympathy for it. I understand.
Baseball, it's not
the
first time you got to a city a little later than you expected.
You can skip BP. You can get there late for the stretch. You can get your sleep in. Now, I understand you got to be at optimal, I don't have to barely keep my eyes open to be able to do the job that I'm doing. I understand that. They actually need to be, you know, physically ready to go. I get it. It's different. It's difficult. You can catch up on it. And you know what? It's one night. You should be able to sleep the next night. And adrenaline should be able to get you through the first one. It should be the second one where you're a little bit more exhausted. So that part of it, I'm not going to necessarily go through for the Yankees. I'm more of the, I don't like, there's a lot of things against them right now. They're beat up. The pitching hasn't been helpful. Their mindset and mentality is not good, but it doesn't get helped by Rodon setting the tone of 5 runs in the first inning. They looked mentally defeated in the second. That's a problem.
Yeah, losing is contagious. Last thing for you, you know, to be a professional broadcaster here at WFAN, do you put your kids second and just put them on your wife and say, hey, you take care of the kids. Yeah. I got to watch the games. I got to lock in and make sure I'm ready to be a professional broadcaster at WFAN.
Let's get that slip slide down to divorce a little bit faster. Come on. I mean, we're already rolling down the hill as it is. That's nonsense and that's ridiculousness. If your kids aren't first, then I don't know what you're doing in your life. But that's on you. You do you. I'm not.
You just don't have a wife and you don't have kids and you just can't relate.
Whatever you do, that's on you. For me, yeah, there's nothing more important. I joke about them all the time. I mean, to their face, I'm a wise ass. What do you want me to tell you? And the 10-year-old is following right in my footsteps, so he's saying it right back at me, so I get it. I wind up being told I'm sus about 97 times a day.
That's
so, like,
great.
I get it. But, you know, in a moment of clarity, yes, there's nothing more important, and there's nothing cooler than having them in the little moments that they give you, minus the 97 other million moments per day where they suck. But that's what being a parent is. And if you're not into it, then I don't know what to tell you.
You got three. God bless you. Marco Belletti, ladies and gentlemen.
See you later, kid.
888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls right now. My guy Joe in Rutherford on the Fan in New York. Jay Schmeezy.
How you doing, my guy? Listen, we're talking about kids, and you know, I just kind of popped in my head. But let's say, you know, Jackson's 10 years old and he walks in with a crispy Mets hat. What's that conversation like, Keith?
That brim is getting swatted in the air. The hat's getting... I'm like, well, who gave you that, bro? What you doing in here? Don't disrespect my household.
All right. Listen, you got to... This is still, at the end of the day, like you said, this is your food. You're paying the bill. So
yeah, no, he won't be. There's just no way. He already, like, there's too many Yankee logos in my apartment. I walk around with Yankee slippers on. As he knows Dada, he's starting to call the Yankee logo Dada. And I'm like, no, Yankees. And he's, like, trying to say Yankees. He's not going to come up in a world, like, at 10? At 10, he's already going to be way deep in the Yankee universe. He's going to be already at Legends probably 20 times by the time he's 10.
Crab legs will be just like everywhere. Yeah.
He's going to have the ice cream helmet. He's going to have the cookies, the cannolis so many times by the time he's in the fourth grade. There's no going back after that.
Listen, I do have to say, I don't know if you've mentioned it on air. I think it's incredible. The accessibility that you've made yourself to some of these younger podcasters. I know, you know, you were on two of them recently. I think it's amazing that you're making yourself accessible to these kids, and it's awesome that you're paying it forward.
Yeah, it's authentic. It's not fake. I have kids that stay up and listen to my show. I have kids that have called WFAN. I have kids that I've inspired because I've told them that I started doing podcasts and that's how I got to WFAN, and they're a lot younger than I was doing podcasts, and they've reached out to me and I've given them the time. And man, there's nothing like that feeling when you pop onto their Zoom or their Riverside and you don't have your camera on yet, but you can see them and I can see these kids' reaction, like, oh my God, this is happening. Oh my God, he actually did it. Like, oh wait, we got, like, man, I'm just like, if I can make a kid's day by giving them 30, 40 minutes of time for a podcast, I'm going to do that every single time. I'd want somebody to be good like that to my son, that that my son admired, and I'm going to continue to do that. There are grown men that I've curved. There are grown men, and I'm like, nah, I'm straight. I'm not doing podcasts. But when I talk to some of these young kids online and understand that, you know, they look up to me, they listen to the fan, I try to go out of my way to be good to them.
One of my favorite stories that I've learned from you is, you know, like what people don't understand. Like when I first met you, Keith, you were grinding, dude. Like you said, you were driving Uber. You know what I mean? You were just another guy in the back of the bodega. But then you started getting some flow with your Yankee podcast. And one of the stories, you know, you've shared with me is that your podcast member stopped by your apartment. You know what I mean? And he didn't feel like it was up to snuff.
Yeah.
For his opinion, and
had a little apartment in Jersey City. I was paying a little bit more than $2,000. Me and my wife, we were at the bottom level of our landlords. It wasn't great. One bedroom apartment, some leaks in the plumbing, and everything just right where it was. But yeah, I opened my door to him, and you know, he judged me and he looked down on me and he told me I'd always be broke and I'd never make it. And you know, he's a rich boy, comes from money, and he had an opportunity with Barstool, so he thought he was popping. And back then, he just easily just was able to tell me what I wasn't going to ever be. But look at me now. I know one of his dreams was to be on WFAN. That'll never happen.
The fact that we're talking here is incredible. But I'll progress to my main point. It's like it's amazing. Like it's almost like the older we become, the more we become like our dads, and in my situation, where you never get too high, you never get too low, but it is alarming, obviously, the way the Yankees are playing, and the fact that it's kind of repeating what we've seen, you know, in the past. But I want to ask you, and you know, I'll hang up and listen. Like, what do we do with Glaber? Like, what are your thoughts here, Keith, as we progress? What do we got to do? Like, this
it's already over. So, like, I mean, we're just prolonging the inevitable. They're trying to squeeze the last little bit of excellence and good play and hitting and defense out of Glaber. But every time you're trying to squeeze that out of Glaber, it comes with the nonsense and the lackadaisical plays and the not hustling and the errors. So it's like, we're at the end of the road. He's not going to be on the team next year. I think they're going to try to trade him at this deadline, if they can get anything for him, if they can get one 17-year-old prospect, do it. But nobody wants Gleyber Torres, man.
I always see, as I watch these guys, like Gleyber Torres is going to be on the Kansas City Royals next year. You know what I mean? It just, you know, he'll be on the Pirates. One of
he'll
these
be in a small market team, and he'll be the man because the pressure will be off, and it's just going to be way different for him. It'll be way different for him. I just I wish him well. I'm disappointed. But I want to win. And I know a lot of Yankee fans are pissed off because they were looking at this team and saying, this is a team that can win the World Series. And right now, they don't feel that way. So it burst their bubble a little bit. But I'm here to remind them every night, and C-Mac's coming up next to remind them every night, it ain't over. This isn't finite. This is June. We haven't even gotten to the deadline. We haven't even gotten to the All-Star break. Chill out.
We're not even in the dog days. Like, this is the pre-dog days.
We just fell out of first place. We just fell out of first place.
Keith, thank you, as always, for letting me come on. But love you, brother. Love seeing you succeed. And I love
bro,
seeing
you. I would be pulling up at your barbecue, but it's my anniversary from when I proposed in the London series to my wife. So I can't go. I was with all the creatures at the tailgate. Everybody's like, yo, you coming to Schmeezy's? I'm like, you're starting it at 5. I just, there's no way I got to be there for my wife for our anniversary.
All good, dude. All good. Listen, man, it's
another one. We'll do another one. I'll bring the speakers and maybe if you do another one later in the summer.
I've said this to you before, a meet and greet tailgate, I think is like, let's make it happen, man. Like,
I don't need the pomp and circumstance. I'm just trying to blend in, but here comes New York Post with their cameras out. You're the man, Smeeze.
Right,
appreciate it. I think that video was hilarious. There's a couple of videos that Mets fans latched onto from the Bleacher Creature tailgate. We obviously have the like banner that somebody made, Bleacher Creature Section 203. We're doing all our chants that we do in Section 203 in Yankee Stadium. and the ones that they ran with were Mets fans suck and F the Mets and all this stuff. And people were like, oh my God, Keith McPherson, how could you? I'm like, easily, I've been doing that for years with the gang. Like, this is nothing new. It's new to you. It's not new to me. I've been with the Creatures for 7 years. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Margie in Bayside, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. Actually, I had a kind of a busy day, and I had ups and downs. Of course, I had WFA on NN, and I heard your tune, and it called to me, and I just had to speak to you. That tune, the Isley Brothers, and also the Ice Cube, which I listened to, and the name of that song is actually that Isley Brothers did is Footsteps in the Dark. And I just wanted to say that, it gives musical style to sports, and it gives personality. And I just I couldn't resist. It called to me.
Thanks. I couldn't think of your name in the moment, but obviously, you were listening and you called in, and I didn't
Margie
forget.
Goes with me. I'm a musician, so that's why I'm very, very attuned to music as well as sports. And so your music just called to me.
Yeah, I'm a sports and music guy. I was just saying to my boy, I'll bring the speakers. I grew up DJing. I used to think that I would be a radio DJ. Actually, first time in this building, I interviewed at 92.3 now before it turned to 92.3 Amp. But yeah, I'm a sports and music guy. I try to rap once in a while. I got DJ equipment, and I'm obviously, doing all this Yankees stuff and.
And it suffuses your soul, and I can tell by the style of the way you are on WFAN, you talk with heart, and that comes from the fact that that music is in your soul.
Yeah,
shows.
I've performed. I've been on microphones way before this. I've been on two turntables with a microphone way before this. It all kind of lends itself to this. This job now.
Very much so, and it also humanizes it. I mean, I really find that you put such a human touch into what you do, and that's the music is what does that. It softens and puts the personality in, and it shows, and I love it.
Well, thank you, Margie. Anything on the Yanks, on the Mets, on the
Yes,
Knicks?
Yeah. I wanted to call about the Mets. The Mets have reached 500, and I know the Yankees are unhappy, with that. But it, basically, what the Mets do is they give a message to never give up. Now, on the other side of the coin, we could say that Soto and Judge are doing well for the Yankees. And Lindor, looking at it in a positive fashion, Lindor, Alvarez, and Vientos are doing particularly well as well. So, it makes you say that even when everything is down and hopeless, it kind of gives you a feeling of things can turn around.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I kind of try and let people know. Like, you called in and said you had a up and down day or whatever, but like we're all going to have bad days. You're going to have consecutive bad days, bad weeks. But you go to sleep and the sun will come out tomorrow and you hope to fight the next day and have a better day. And baseball is a lot like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, baseball is like life. Very much so. I also wanted to say that I noticed about how like your cat Tune. And I also like the fact that you bring Tune into this, which is wonderful, because when you talk about when you come home and how a tune greets you,
yeah.
I can identify with this so much because it's like when you learn, some people identify with a dog, but the love of a cat is super special. And I love when you talk about that because I have a cat too, and I know that the love of a cat is beyond words.
Yeah, I didn't know of it at all, but now that I have it, like when I leave here, I know when I park that car and my keys start jingling, Tune is going to leave the bed with my wife and be at that door like, what up, you made it back.
It's ineffable. I mean, words cannot describe that kind of love. Am I right?
No, you're right. I had no idea. Never had any animals. My wife got the cat because I got this nighttime gig, and she's like, I don't want to be alone at night every single night. I'm getting a cat. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. And now the cat rocks with me more than the cat rocks with her.
he's chosen you.
And it's
he's
a girl.
Chosen
it's,
you as his, I call, you're his person.
Her name is actually Luna. My wife named her Luna, but Luna turned into Luna, Tuna, Pantaluna, Tuna, Tune, 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 Toony, Tune, like, you know, like they call Lil Wayne Tune.
Yeah, and there's a little musical aspect to that. So,
oh, I got like 10 songs for her. Tune,
really?
Tune. Toony is the name that he gave me. Yeah. Luna Tuna, Pantaluna, that's my Toony baby. You know Toony's crazy. Like I sing to her all the time.
I love it. So anyhow, it's great talking to you. I will be listening. Keep the little musical style in there because it calls to me.
I will. Margie, thank you for the call. Let's take a break. Loopy on the late night. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you'd like to sneak in a call, we've got a little bit more time. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. Told you we're coming right back. When I say BRB, I mean it. KM to 2 a.m. It's almost 2 a.m. Let's get to the phones. 888-808-1019 if you want to sneak in a call. I'm just trying to go quickly here because I feel like I'm running out of time and people have been holding and I have Marco and my boy Schmeezy and everybody else. And then Margie heard me call on her and she called. Let's go to Mike in New Hyde Park on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Keith. How's it going? Appreciate you.
Good, man. Thanks for calling. You got it.
I couple points. One with the Yankees, I think it's just got to hold tight right now. It's early, like you said, and just comparing and contrasting even with the Mets. A few weeks ago, people were saying blow up the Mets. Yankees had the best rotation in baseball. I think it's just got to, with the injuries, maybe with the consistency, I think they just got to hold tight and see what happens right now.
Yeah, it's tough to not have knee-jerk reactions. It's tough to not have definitive, you know, statements, especially as radio hosts. And I tell people all the time, we have to have an opinion and a take daily. And those takes and opinions expire quickly. But you got to try and use your head. That's why I don't want to, and I would never do this anyway, just being a baseball fan. I would never come in here after a 4-game losing streak and be like, this team sucks. They're not winning anything. They're like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
C-Mac last night started his show with the clip of him saying, this team is dead, talking about the Mets. Like, there are no clips of me saying that the Mets were dead. And as much as Mets fans think I troll them or I hate them, it's wrestling. I'm leaning into the rivalry. When I actually talked about the team, I'm like, no, this is a team that can win some games. Yeah, they're going through some rough patches. I said, they got to make it happen. They got to get back to being the make-it-happen Mets. Now they're literally making it happen and imposing their will. And the Yankees just got literally ran over by them.
Yeah. If I could, a question about Garrett Cole, and then question I would like to get your take on the Knicks. Do you think Garrett Cole should have stayed in AAA a little longer? I mean, maybe like him coming up and being unsuccessful, like, maybe that deflated some things too as well. Here you got like the waiting on him to come, waiting for him to come back all year. He comes back and this isn't him.
What a lot of people are forgetting, because I think it hit with Ian Hamilton. Ian Hamilton and Cody Poteet hit the IL and Cody Poteet was making those starts and they could have done something else. Like they could have called up someone from AAA, but I think they gave Garrett Cole the option to rejoin, and it was the Baltimore Orioles, and this is a guy that is a Yankee fan and cares about his team and his teammates, and he's healthy, and he was missing it. So he said, okay, I don't need to make another start in AAA, but maybe he should have, because he's now very open and honest about, the adrenaline, the velocity. Like he's telling you, like, I'm not where I want to be yet, and I'm figuring it out on the fly in games. And he shows up for two of the biggest games against our in-division rival and our in-city rival.
Yeah. Maybe that's Boone being a cool dad, too.
I mean, it's Boone, it's Cashman, it's Matt Blake. They all are making the decision. And with Garrett Cole being such a baseball savant and such a pitching mind, they're going to trust him. And they did. Yeah. And he got twice. I mean, the first one wasn't so bad. The first one, they protected him and took him out, and I just was like, I don't know. Maybe if they let him go a little bit longer, he would have had more time to feel himself out. Either way, the Mets ambushed him. That Mets lineup is you guys have all seen it and heard it. That Mets lineup is tough for anybody. I've heard C-Mac go through the names of Dylan Cease and John Gray and Shota Imanaga, and it's like, yo, that's why, you know, Mets fans got to be happy with what they're seeing. Like, your lineup is attacking some of the best pitchers in baseball. That's not a fluke. That's not something that's just going to evaporate and disappear.
Yeah, no doubt. And then with the Knicks, the one thing is, I mean, I was happy for with the trade. I know they gave up a lot. But the one thing that, like, concerns me with the team is, like, the bench. Well, these lack of role players, like, coming off of the bench.
Well, no. Like, you see... Now, like, Dante DiVincenzo is on the bench. Now Josh Hart is on the bench. Like... You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys that you were relying on that were winning you games in the playoffs, they're role players, and they're hella good role players. Like,
yeah, you think Dante's going to go to the bench?
Yeah, because there's no room for him. You're going to start Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, then we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's going to be a good season.
I think it's going to be. Thanks for the call, Mike. And I'm already, as like a Nets fan, I just don't care. I know a lot of Nets fans live in the shadow of the Knicks. I don't. I really did enjoy the win streak that the Nets had against the Knicks, understanding that that doesn't always happen. But I also do remember being in New Jersey and Jason Kidd throwing alley-oops to Richard Jefferson on the Knicks' heads. Like, I don't know. I'm not a Nets fan that, like Evan was like, the Knicks, I can't believe you did that to the Knicks. Like, the Knicks have been bums. They've been trash. They've been nothing. So, like, I'm actually like, yeah, let's see if they actually can do it. Let's see if, okay, now they got the last Infinity Stone. Okay, OG signed. Let's see if OG can stay healthy. Let's see if Mikal Bridges can get with his boys and be the man. He couldn't be the man on his own in Brooklyn with a couple guys by his side like Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton and some other role players. He couldn't be the man in Brooklyn with his BFF Cam Johnson. Let's see if he can do it with the Villanova crew. You know, there's a clip floating around Nets Twitter where Mikal Bridges talks about how he wanted to be drafted by the Knicks. I'm like, this guy always wanted to be a Knick. He talks about how his best games in college were at Madison Square Garden playing in a big... I'm like, this guy never wanted to be here. And I'm trying to talk to Nets fans. And I might fire up for any of the Nets fans out there. Like, talking Nets, I own that. When I left John Boy Media, John Boy and I agreed that, like, they didn't want talking Nets. And I took the YouTube channel, all that. Like, I own that. So even though I'm not doing talking Nets podcast because I'm busy and I have a bunch of other things going on. Sorry, I love my wife, so I take care of my son. At any time, I can fire up a live on Talking Nets YouTube, which is monetized, which has like 1,700 followers. And we can talk about everything that's going on. And we might need to talk about what's going on. Because Mikal Bridges, I'm glad they set that man free. Why hold him hostage? So his boys can keep trolling him and winning forever? Like, no. They got a good return for a guy that's not an all-star, not a superstar, not a first option, not a second option, and not somebody that was going to work with your current roster. When you look at the Nets picks, now you guys got me on a Thomas and center reach, I'm coming to you next, but while we're on it, like, when you look at the Brooklyn Nets and how they're set up for the next few years, the next few years of New York basketball is going to be great. The Knicks have to win now. And I made the joke on the night that the Bridges trade happened, the first night of the Subway Series. I'm like, if they win the chip, at least we could go to that parade. Are Knicks fans going to kick Brooklyn Nets fans out of their championship parade, out of the bars, out of the streets? No, not at all. Not at all. My boy Kaz, I've had Kaz on. Kaz is like, the Brooklyn Nets are now my second favorite team, right? Because now you're going to be this nice little tanking team, this developing team with Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton. You guys would be a cute little story here and there.
That's the last time they were fun, right? That team with D'Lo and those guys, yeah.
When it was D'Lo and Caris LeVert and Jared Allen and Spencer Dinwiddie and I think like Ed Carroll, Jared Dudley.
The dancing bench, right?
Yeah. Theo Pinson. But what I'm saying is when you look, right, the Nets have in next year, this draft is done. In 2025, the Nets have their pick, Milwaukee's pick, the Knicks pick. Like I don't have to go through all the picks, but the future for the Brooklyn Nets is there now. The future for the Brooklyn Nets, you can literally look at the picks and say, okay, maybe they're gonna draft their own guys. Sean Marks, here's your last chance to organically build this team like the champions we see The champions like that win in the NBA, those are picks, man. The days of putting together Bosch and LeBron with D-Wade or Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen joining Paul Pierce, it doesn't happen like that exactly anymore. You need role players, right? You can get a Drew Holiday and a Kristaps Porzingis, but man, that team for the Boston Celtics that went to all those Eastern Conference Finals, it's been Tatum and Brown with a couple other pieces that they've drafted. And same thing with the Nuggets, who will be back next year. They drafted Nikola Jokic. They drafted Jamal Murray, who they just paid. They drafted Michael Porter Jr. It's the only way. It is the literal formula and blueprint to build a champion. You can't build a champion by bringing in washed players over 30, expecting them to come in, and like it just doesn't work like that. So I'm happy that the Brooklyn Nets, potentially, after this window that exists for the Knicks to win a championship, they'll be contenders by the time that window is closing. 888-808-1019. And maybe the window doesn't close for the Knicks. Let me not get ahead of myself with that as well, as there's so many people saying the Nets are going to be trash and the Knicks are gonna, maybe the window is not closing. Maybe that like continues for a while and they keep making moves. Maybe this Tyler Kolek from Marquette, you know, I heard he's not really a books guy, but whatever. You ain't got to read no books on the court. You got to read the defense, know what to do with the ball. Maybe the Knicks window is longer than we think, but it's setting up New York basketball between the Knicks fans and the Nets fans to have what they're rooting for in front of them. And I'm excited as a Nets fan. I hadn't smiled as a Nets fan in a year and a half, the way I smiled when I saw Mikal Bridges, a guy that most Nets fans, like if you go to the arena, if you go to Barclays Center and you're in these spaces, which I know most of y'all are not, 90% of y'all are Knicks fans, we were not rocking with, bro. We could tell he did not want to be here. And if you don't want to be here, fine. If you want to be up the street, good. Sean Marks didn't stay stuck on stupid. He released him, and he got what I think is a fleece, a release for a fleece, for a reunion, for you guys to reunite March Madness buddies. Like, yeah, I'm definitely taking the Knicks in my March Madness pool. But, like, the NBA playoffs and the finals, like, y'all still got to deal with Embiid. Y'all still got to deal with Giannis. Like, y'all still got to deal with the Miami Heat culture and obviously the Boston Celtics. The Nets, we're out of that. They're talking about tanking for Cooper Flagg. There was a kid at the draft last night with a Brooklyn Nets jersey, and he wrote Flagg across the back. So I'm fine with that. I am fine with that because I want the Nets to do it right. I lived through, like, and I was at the playoff series against the Bulls in 2013. I was at the playoff series in 2015. I was at the playoff series in 2018 from the Hawks series to the Philadelphia series. I was at all of them. I literally, as a Nets fan, I was at all of the playoff runs and seen all these different iterations of teams from LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin coming in to join. Like no, enough already. Enough with the, like, you know, guys coming to Brooklyn. Brooklyn is an attractive spot. It is in New York. And as you build your own team and you have your own homegrown people like Nick Claxton, who put out a picture yesterday and said, I know who I am, and took a picture of the Brooklyn Bridge as a low-key shot to Brooklyn Bridges, who didn't know who he was and just wanted to join up with his college buddies, run behind them instead of have his own franchise, and Cam Thomas, who is a bucket and a half, we're ready to roll. We're ready to roll. And if they lose 100 games next year, which is impossible, I won't even trip, because you know what? Here comes the draft. 888-808-1019. And we'll be salty Nets fans laughing when the Knicks don't win the chip, when the Knicks are hurt again, when the Knicks are running to the ground again and Knicks fans are blaming the coach for playing their guys 40 minutes, when OG's got a elbow, a hamstring, when Mikal Bridges' Iron Man streak ends. Like, a salty Nets fan is going to be like, yeah, thanks for the picks. Last call of the night goes to Thomas in Center Reach. Thomas, you're on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, what's good?
My God, sorry to keep you waiting, man. You sound a little tired. I am too, man. It's a long day. I told Rami, I was like, I'm on hot coffee in the morning, iced coffee in the afternoon, green tea or black tea, Earl Grey tea at night. No energy drinks, because sometimes the energy drinks will get me like jittery where I'm not able to go to sleep till the sun comes up.
Yeah, I see you. But before I talk about baseball, yo, Nets, they're going to be failing for Flag, bro. All these teams going to be failing for Flag. That's what they're going to start calling it.
So be it.
Gonna,
Obviously, it doesn't work like that with the lottery, and you know what it is. But whatever, yo, whatever. The Nets aren't going to win. Like, we just went through a miserable season these last few years. It was even miserable with KD and Kyrie because all the shenanigans that went on. So what? At least now we got that out of here. Man, if they get Ben Simmons out of here, I'm going to throw a party.
Yeah, bro. I don't get Ben. Bro, I'm pretty sure I looked it up. I think Anthony Bennett has more career three-pointers made than Ben Simmons. I think he's got 31. I think Ben Simmons has 25.
Yeah, but, you know, Ben Simmons is posting his workout videos. He's coming back. He's going to have a jumper this year.
He's hyped to play 20 games.
Yeah, then next thing you know, he's my neck and my back. He's going to exit with a hangnail.
Fractured pinky toe out for 60 weeks.
I can't. They got it. If Sean Marks can find a way to get him, even just cut the, just take the, I just don't want to see him. If Sean Marks can figure out, but he won't, because it's the New Zealand connection with the Australian connection, and I think he's going to try it again. But man, if they're able to get rid of Ben Simmons, we're lit.
Yeah, he's one of their primary player that they got in the James Harden trade. That's another thing that they probably wouldn't want, another reason why they wouldn't want to get rid of him.
Yeah, but that's over. That's all in the past, right? Like, they got some picks back from Houston, and like, okay, with Philly, you know, they got Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, and they were the only team dumb enough to take on Ben Simmons. But that stuff's in the past. You got to look forward.
Yeah, another thing you're talking about the old Nets with D'Lo. You forgot about Bruce Brown, the dog.
Was Brucey B on that team?
He might have been. I don't know, but I'm Bruce Brown.
I don't know if Brucey B was on that team.
I wish that I want the Knicks. I honestly, if the Knicks got a bench role, I wish they would have got. I low key want them to get Bruce Brown. The guy's a good player.
I saw Bruce Brown's name trending, and I just looked up the 2019 Nets. Bruce Brown was not on that team.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It all blurs together. But that's what I'm telling you. I try not to rep the Nets because it's a struggle and it ain't fun. And it's kind of like, you know, I talk to some of my friends that are Mets fans. They're like, see, when you talk about the Nets, you understand what it's like to be a Mets fan. I'm like, not really. But, like, I remember. I remember.
Yeah. But, all right, back to my main topic, Vivian. LeBron and Bronny. That's one thing. That's the one thing I want to say before I talk to people. That is crazy. That's crazy to me. I saw a thing like LeBron playing with a future teammate. It is insane how LeBron James is 39 years old. Bro, some of these kids who are about to end the league, bro, they weren't even born when he started playing. Like, what? That's insane. But one of the coaches, I don't know what
LeBron
coach,
is a one cyborg.
One of the coaches is older than him. He's insane.
And
he's
like,
LeBron very crazy.
As much as I kind of like joked about it online, saying like it wasn't organic, it was manufactured, like even with Bronny sitting there all choked up, like his rich ass, they got this whole like party for him, and there's no suspense. There's only one team that's going to draft you. And you know your dad has the power to get it done. And good for them and their family that they literally are that powerful. LeBron is the king. Long live the king. And here comes the prince. Like, they're going to be the first ever father-son duo. And all the Bron stands are going to be like, see, that's why he's the GOAT. What about MJ's sons? MJ's son played at Illinois, but, like, he didn't ever get on the court with MJ. This is why Bron is the GOAT, bro. What else you need Bron to do? What else you need Bron to do?
And it's just, but the problem, I love JJ. I think JJ Redick could be a good coach for them, but the problem is going to start when LeBron says, I want my kid to play minutes, and if LeBronny isn't playing
well. I don't think LeBron is that dumb. I think
he's going to have
to. No, hell no. LeBron is a basketball mind. I don't think he's going to force Bronny into the fold. Like, I think that this is all for clicks. That's why I laughed about JJ Redick saying that, oh, the media is all engagement farmers. That's all the Lakers are. You guys are just looking for clicks and engagement and people to talk about you on First Take. I guarantee you, Stephen A. tomorrow, I never watch his show, but his clips pop up on Twitter. You're going to hear Stephen A. go, oh, now LeBron and Bronny, the Lake Show. And it's going to be like, this is dumb. Like, he couldn't score. He averaged 4 points at USC.
Yeah, I know. All they got to do is just cut D'Lo, and then they're set. That's their whole thing. They just got to cut D'Angelo Russell, and they'll totally.
He don't want to be over there. He's ready for
get him out of there.
He's
bro.
Ready for
get him out of there.
He's ready send for them to cut him.
Send him to the Wizards, Brett.
But you know what? The Lakers. That kid fell in their lap yesterday. Dalton Neck from Tennessee.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how he didn't go in the first round, and then I don't know how he didn't go in the top 15. I'm thinking about the guy from Duke, Swabowski. He didn't go. How did he not go in the first round? That guy is good.
I was about to say him. Rami just said that girlfriend thing. He had some weird stuff on the line about him and his girlfriend. And his girlfriend was all hugged up on him at Barclays yesterday. And stuck his leg out. And he's got that like Duke, like he's got that like Duke. I don't know. Some
who
character
got him?
Flaws.
Utah was the team who got him, I think.
He was picked up today early in the second round. Yeah, it was the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, bro. So, all right, well, back to mainly on baseball right now. Talking Yanks on Twitter, bro, they posted the final score and said, someday I'll be happy, maybe not today.
Yeah.
That's how you describe a Mets season sometimes.
Yeah, I can't rock with them, bro, and I don't really rock with them. And I've been quiet about it because I used to work over there. But I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to clear something up. All these Aggie Mets fans thought I was going at them when I, quote, tweeted Jolly's tweet. But I wasn't talking about Mets fans when I was talking about they're not like us, they're not outside. I was talking about the nerds that post that type of stuff for Talking Yanks.
They
don't represent all Yankee fans. So,
yeah,
you know,
I know. Jolly,
he does all the Mets content for them and on YouTube, and he goes, oh, the place I work has tons of Yankee fans, but thankfully they're not like this. This S is corny as hell. Talking about the Bleacher Creatures having fun in the parking lot, literally minding our business, but cameras came out. And my response was, they're not like us. They're not outside. They're on computers. They watch the game on TV. Stick to Fangraphs and podcasts.
I'm for
like,
real.
This is not what you want, bro. You don't want beef with the creatures. Like you don't want me to air y'all out. I used to work over there with you nerds. Like I'm good.
You work with them and y'all are Yankee fans. Like, dude, there's Yankee fans backing other Yankee fans for nothing.
Because
on Twitter.
Right now
on Twitter.
We are at war with ourselves. The Yankees are floundering, and many fans thought that this was a World Series team, still could be. And right now, Yankee fans are fighting with other Yankee fans about every single thing because the greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans.
Yeah, like, bro.
But those dweebs don't want any smoke with me. They don't acknowledge me. When I left there and came to WFAN, right? Someone used to tell me this, you know, be very cautious of who doesn't applaud when you succeed. So if you leave a company and you leave a place and you elevate, and nobody is clapping for you, and nobody is acknowledging your success, there's something going on there. And I've been quiet about it, but like now I'm about to like start airing them out. Just because Jolly had the audacity to go on Twitter and be like, this is corny. I work with
coming
a bunch of Yankee fans. You work with
like
a bunch
that,
of losers,
bro.
They're not like that.
Coming at someone who roots for your own team, but that's just so ridiculous.
They're nerds, bro. They do trivia and like sports grid stuff. They're not outside like the creatures are.
Come on.
They don't want to meet the creatures. They don't want to step right up and meet the creatures. Thanks for the call, Thomas. That's all we've got. What a loopy on a late night show. KM to 2 a.m. is over. C-Max coming up next. Call his show, and you guys can talk about every ball, strike, and nonsense that came out of Rogers Center. I'm off. I'll be back Saturday. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.